Good morning. This morning the robins were at it again, along with the pine siskins and the ruffed grouse and the mourning dove. I was sitting at the window ready to do my Kuan Yin chanting. I like to sit at the open window, no matter what time of year it is, and do my chanting. But I couldn't improve on the bird song. So I didn't chant. I just sat and rested, listening to the wonders of this world. And as I walked up the path to the doorway here, I saw my first daffodil of the season. I can't believe it bloomed, even though it was so cold last night. More wonders. They're everywhere. In this world, in this life. Really often it just takes slowing down enough to see, right? Perhaps sometimes in our meditation practice we're so focused on achieving some outcome that we forget to just relax and see what's here. I found this morning a Calvin and Hobbes cartoon. Some of you might know this cartoon, the Calvin and Hobbes. I don't know a whole lot about it, but I think it's a kid and a tiger or something like that. Anyway, Calvin goes to his dad and he says, "Dad, your approval ratings are down." And his dad says, "Excuse me, Calvin, but I'm not aiming for high approval ratings. I'm aiming to raise you to be a good person." And Calvin says, "Your approval ratings are not going to improve with that attitude." Sometimes I think we spend a lot of time worrying about our approval ratings. No. And maybe we're just trying to be good people. Maybe that's enough. And along the ways, we learn a little bit about suffering and the end of suffering. Maybe just being a good person. Or maybe just trying to be a good person, right, in this confusing human life with these challenges of greed and aversion. It's not always so easy, and delusion. It's not always so easy. But yet we can celebrate the heart that inclines towards kindness. I sometimes tell people when they ask, "How can I know my practice is progressing?" Sometimes I just say, ask yourself, am I kinder than I used to be? Maybe that's enough. Maybe that's more important than how many breaths we can follow in a row. So on this journey of understanding, learning to be kinder, we can explore aversion and the chain of conditioning that leads to aversion. We can explore it more deeply. I think on this path we need a passionate curiosity. Somebody once asked Albert Einstein, you know, why he was so smart, and he said, "I have no special gift, I'm only passionately curious." So we become passionately curious about this human life, this heart, mind, body that slips around and connects with this world, and how does this chain of conditioning function, and where is there some kind of freedom and our usual conditioning that gets us all tangled up. And specifically today, talking about tangled up and aversion. And so a key part of this is feeling tone. Many of you, all of you, I'm sure, have heard of feeling tone, of Vedana, this first impression of a sense contact on our system. So the effective tone of that first impression, whether it's pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. As untrained worldlings, as the Buddha put it, as untrained worldlings, if this first impression, this effective tone of contact is unpleasant, we will automatically respond with aversion. And I kind of talked about that last night, kind of that knee-jerk response, that deeply conditioned response. And with mindfulness, and in training, we start to consider whether there might be a gap between unpleasantness and aversion. Really, at first, I seem married for life, like there's no space between those two. Unpleasant, aversion, go away. But as we explore, it's like, can we start to maybe just introduce a little bit of space there? So let's say our own life is our own teacher, right? So we're sitting here and there's a pain in the shoulder. So there's the sensations of the pain, that's the contact, sense contact, right? Burning, stinging, pulling, aching, whatever it is. Then there's the unpleasantness of those sensations. And then there's a response. You could say this is a chain of conditioning, though the affective tone arises right with the sense contact. But then the causation, the chain of conditioning towards aversion or towards freedom. And we can move between those three aspects, just exploring the relationship and see whether that introduces some space so we can be with the actual sensations. Is there some ability to just rest with those? It's a question. It's not a demand. We're curious. We're learning. We're not telling ourselves how to be. So we can rest with the sensations. Or we can just rest with, unpleasant. Or sometimes I say just unpleasant. Or we notice if the mind spills off into aversion, what's that like? What's it like to hate our own experience or to exile our own experience? Maybe we find that aversion actually makes the sensations feel stronger. Maybe we sense the aversion shielding the heart and the pain of that hardness. Maybe we go back, just unpleasant. Is that possible that it's just unpleasant, that we can end the whole drama right there? You may have noticed that aversion and grasping are kind of dramatic, kind of drama queens. They like to really get going. Good story. It's just unpleasant. Or back to the sensations. Burning, stinging. Just burning. Can I rest? Where can we rest with life as it is now? So we just see if there's moments, perhaps, where we can taste an unconditional freedom. Just this, and let life be without needing to meddle with it. Now, of course, there's a time and a place to investigate whether our posture is causing the shoulder pain, perhaps trying a different posture. It's really bad taking an ibuprofen. So there is a place, of course, to respond. And yet our meditation practice is about this passionate curiosity in how suffering unfolds and where there's space for freedom under all conditions. Here's a quote, one of my favorites from After the Ecstasy, Then the Laundry by Jack Kornfield. In many ways, the spiritual transformation of the past decades is different than I had imagined. This is, he interviewed a lot of senior teachers about their practice, so this is like a lama or senior teacher. I'm still the same quirky person with much the same style and ways of being. So that on the outside, I'm not that amazingly transformed, enlightened person I first hoped to become. But there's a big transformation inside. Years of working with my feelings and family patterns and temper have softened the way I hold them all. In the struggle to know and deeply accept my life, it has been transformed and my love has grown larger. If my life was like a crowded garage where I kept bumping into the furniture and judging myself, now it's like I've moved into an airplane hangar with the doors left open. I've got the old stuff there, yet it doesn't limit me like before. I'm the same. Yet now I'm free to move about, even to fly. How big can that compassionate space of the heart get? Perhaps that's all we're trying to do, is expand that compassionate space of the heart.